Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Frustrated, angry, unacceptable, disappointed. Hang in there. We have a good group of young men in that locker room who are working really hard to represent us and win ball games. And I would say the same thing about our staff. But everybody's got to take it up a notch, and we got to get moving in the right direction. Hang in there.
Well, that direction is now different down at 10th and Vine. Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone is in. We are back with you here on Hail Varsity, the extended edition, as we got going at 2 when it comes to coverage. Sean Eichhorst is out. Chancellor Green and President Bounds making that decision. Plenty of calls for you to get in here. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Here's what I want to ask you. How are you feeling right now as a Nebraska fan with this decision to make a difference, make a different direction known, and kind of forged forward here from your leadership at Nebraska to now? Do you feel better with a different athletic director? That's the decision they made, and it came down to competitiveness for Nebraska on the field. We'll get to your calls here in a minute. If you're on hold, stay there. Coming up, let me set the lineup. I want a historical perspective, and I want some insight from a brilliant man, Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity. It's coming up in about 7 minutes. Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity. Mike has covered Nebraska football for 40 years, and Mike will have some thoughts on what's next for this program. Coach Osborne had a chance to speak with sister station KFOR earlier today. Chancellor Green will be relying heavily on Coach Osborne and his advice and his direction. In about 20 minutes, we'll try and run down Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, as we have Nate and Jack. Shortly, we'll get to Nate and we'll get to Jack. So if you're there, hang on. A chance for you at Nebraska football Rutgers tickets coming up this hour. We'll give that away at 5:50 tonight. Back to the lineup, though. Gary Barnett will be with us in 1 hour. Former coach at Colorado and Northwestern. Get his take on this situation. And then George Darlington, longtime coach at Nebraska, Rutgers alum. And, of course, George, very proud of the Nebraska football program, his reaction to Eichhorst, but plenty of room for you. 800-825-5865 to join us here as you tap the line with Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Nate, thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
I'd wait forever for you. You asked me how
you're,
I'm feeling.
You're it.
let me open this up with the bang. Oh, happy day. Where's Whoopi Goldberg? Start singing some hymns. It is on. We got, what, 7 games left. We got to deal with Mr. Rogers, and we can start turning around. I'm so happy. Look, I don't know. I think you're on my Facebook, but if you're not, you know, Gregus can tell you about it. I actually started Saturday evening a boycott.
What'd you start doing Saturday evening, Nate?
I was not going to eat corn until Eichhorst was fired. And
wow.
The power to the people. It took 4 days, and the ginger soulless hammer is gone. He's gone. Oh, I'm dancing in the streets. Ooh, yes, Jesus, I'm happy. Oh, thank God he's gone. Man,
Nate,
what an idiot. He was a Wisconsin plant to begin with. I'm so happy. But on a separate point, do you know how ignorant the alleged best fans in America are? The only people I've heard talk about, well, it's not going to help if we don't get rid of Perlman. Really, we should get rid of Perlman. So, yeah, maybe we should flush some of the fan base down, too. But, hey, we are on the road to recovery. The first step to solving a problem is admitting you have one. Chris, I'm out, brother.
Hey, Jesus. Nate, thank you. Appreciate it. There's one reaction. As a Nebraska fan, what are you feeling right now as administration has made the move to find an interim athletic director and then make a hire. And you know the names that are out there for the athletic director job. Trev Alberts, Dave Remington has been floated about. I think John Cook is brilliant, and I know he's currently coaching, but the guy knows how to win, knows sports, knows culture, knows direction, knows perseverance. No one's asking me, I'm telling you. Who else on the line? Sorry about that. My eyesight's Jack is with us here on Hail Varsity. Jack, thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I've heard ever since they fired Frank Solich, you know, that they brought in Bill Callahan, and then after Bo, which Bo was probably a little closer, but he had such a rotten attitude, it just probably wasn't going to last. You know, and now they bring in Mike Riley. We've lost our way as Nebraska football, in my opinion. You look at our offensive line and how they play with the lack of intensity that they play with, and it's basically what it is. I mean, you got 3-4 stars and a 3-star and a walk-on, and they can't beat a bunch of 2-stars from Northern and no stars from Northern Illinois. But, you know, if you look at how Iowa and Wisconsin, how they recruit their offensive linemen, they just go, they don't care about the star system. They go for kids with an edge, kids that have an attitude, and it shows up. We've got to go back to that type of football. And if we lose some recruit, you know, I think if Riley loses to either Rutgers or Illinois, I don't think he'll finish the season. I think he's got to win those two games.
No, they need for their own self-worth to be 2-0 by the time Wisconsin rolls around. Right now, right now you have a head coach, you have a staff that's going to be working under a new boss, either interim and potentially permanent. So, yeah, there's been a shakeup in their world. They got to focus. They got to coach. They got to get guys ready. And you have a coach right now. My advice is to support him and see where the chips fall. The thing is you're going to have leadership and vision at the top. You have a new opportunity for that, and you got to trust that will be better than what you had. That's why you make a move. And it needs to be better than what you had, quite honestly. And when it comes to culture and on-field performance and a way to win football, a way to win football in the Big Ten at Nebraska is physical football. Nebraska has a chance to try and become that. I don't know if it's in their DNA or not under this staff, but they still have an opportunity, Jack, to do that.
They do, but we, you know, I think there's just a certain culture in the coaching staff here that this team is just a little soft, a little fluffy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just like the way I look at it, this last game, that offensive line was playing so pathetic. We're 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. Why the hell don't you bring in some of them other kids and let them play for a series or two and make those studs sit over there on the bench and watch? Maybe they'd wake up, but it never happens. You know, it's just like Riley gets his golden cows, and they're going to stay in no matter how bad it gets. And I if I had to be critical of him in one area, that would be it.
Well, it's the just offensive side for sure. The defense has been playing a number of guys. Jack, appreciate you tuning in, my man. Appreciate your call. Do it again if you want. 466-3776, 466-3776-800, 825-5865. Schedule permitting, Jerry DiNardo with us in about 10 minutes. We'll try and run down Mike Babcock right now, get his perspective on this move, this dismissal of Sean Eichhorst, and, you know, how Nebraska football reacts to it now on the field with this staff, with this group of guys. And the ultimate assumption here is that this is not a good thing for Mike Riley. And when you have change in administration, they want to bring in their own people. We don't even know who is going to be the interim. We don't know who's going to be the next athletic director. There's still time for this staff, this head coach, who I think you like, but you just want him to win more. And I get that. but there's still a chance to make a case for this staff. Now, it's whether or not you believe they'll be able to do it on offense. Mike Babcock is with us of Hail Varsity, historian, author, Hall of Famer, 40 years and counting of Nebraska football coverage at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, crazy, crazy day. You were down at the press conference. You had a chance to listen to Chancellor Green and President Bounds. And first and foremost, let me get your take on this. Are you surprised they did it now? Are you surprised by the timing of this? Because it's already been crazy time around here since Saturday.
I'm surprised that they did it now. People that I respect in the media that are probably smarter than I am.
I don't know about that.
said that, they tell me, I saw this coming. You know, I thought it would be this week. I had one person tell me that they thought the timing was such that had Nebraska won against Rutgers and won against Illinois, and then somehow figured out a way to win against Wisconsin, they couldn't have made the move then, and that they were already inclined to do it. And, there may be some validity to that. I think everybody has a theory about this thing. And I think he addressed it probably in the news conference itself, but I asked the chancellor afterward if Nebraska had won the game on Saturday, would we have had that news conference today? And he just sort of smiled and he said, well, Nebraska could have won that game, but we're talking about competitiveness here across the board. So, and then he didn't finish it, but the implication was that it was in the works and it would have happened anyway, I guess, was the implication that I would take from that. But it surprised me. I don't know that I'm easily surprised, but I'm kind of to the point now with Husker Athletics, when I start to put things together over the course of the time that I've done this, I guess nothing should surprise me.
The thing that'll be constant is change, right, over the past 20 years. Now, Mike, what do you think? There was a collection of events that helped make this decision for Green. There's a collection of events that help make this decision for Bounds, and you have on-field performance by some of your major sports, i.e. football and basketball, that need to be better. Women's basketball needs to be better. But you lost to Northern Illinois, and then listening to the press conference and airing the press conference, they were very honest about their answer about, well, we didn't know Sean was going to speak after the game. He didn't give them a heads up. Was that kind of the final, lack of a better term, final insult here with this accumulation of scorekeeping to make a move?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that affected their decision.
Does it go back to Black Friday? I mean, having to have a chat with him about what it means for Nebraska fans. I mean, because that came before the loss, and then it came before his impromptu media session was the Black Friday thing.
Yeah, Smitty, and I think I do believe that it was an accumulation of events, and those things are part of it. I think the chancellor and the president. I think it's certainly not a knee-jerk reaction, and so I think that the elements were there anyway. And when we're not really sure exactly what happened or how it came about, I think we look for significant things. Try to put it. I always say this, but nothing is as simple as it looks, and so we want it to be, and so we look at it and say, well, there was the Black Friday thing, which was unfortunate, that the explanation and then basically the change in explanation and so forth, that was pretty dramatic, and obviously the loss to Northern Illinois was dramatic, but I think that. I think that there was a more reasoned decision than that. That it went beyond that. I mean, I think the President Bounds said something about needing to do a better job of keeping freshmen and sophomore athletes here through the whole time. You know, that we can think of some football players that didn't stick around or didn't hang in there or whatever. I mean, I think there were. I would give him credit for that. You know, that I think there was a studied decision that involved several things, some of which we may not know, going back a while. I believe that. I hope that's the case, certainly, because if it's as simple as, that was not a good thing to say, and losing to Northern Illinois was not a good thing, so adios. I just don't think it was that. I don't think it was that simple. And I give them credit on that count.
Babbers, I got about 20 seconds.
Sure.
Is Trev the next call?
Well, I don't know because they're hiring a search firm. They said they want to get it right. We look at it. I think Trev Alberts would be a good fit for the position, but. He's already in the system, the university system. So could end up him, but I think if you're hiring a search firm, you're gonna do your due diligence, which I think they need to do.
Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, 40 years of Nebraska right there at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, thank you so much, sir.
You bet. Go down and hear what Mike Riley has to say here shortly. So
you can hear it and catch it on HailVarsity.com. Jerry DiNardo next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
1 hour from now, George Darlington, former Nebraska assistant, will be with us. Longtime coach in the SEC and Big Ten. And you watch him on the Big Ten Network, Jerry DiNardo, with us at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, been a busy one here today. How are you?
Good. Evidently, there's some news going on in Lincoln, huh?
Yeah. The news came down around 1 that Sean Eichhorst is out. Press conference at 2:30. They are going to use a search firm. They're also going to rely on Coach Osborne. They'll find an interim athletic director and then eventually another athletic director. It's been a week, Coach DiNardo, from the loss Saturday to the comments last week about Black Friday to now Sean Eichhorst out of a job and now Nebraska football still needing to produce on the field. What's your reaction to the number of events here as Nebraska tries to bounce back from 1-2? Capital D in the distraction here?
I would think, I think Mike Riley will certainly be distracted. You know, Sean hired him. I'm guessing they had a good relationship. It's never good when the athletic director that hired you and believes in your plan is no longer your boss. So that's a distraction. You know, Mike's a professional. He's been through a lot of different things in his coaching career. He'll get through this, but it'll be a distraction. I think he'll probably try to minimize it. He'll probably do a good job minimizing it, but it's certainly a distraction.
What's your reaction to Nebraska's move, getting rid of Sean Eichhorst?
Quite honestly, I'm very surprised. I understand that the team hasn't looked very good. And that's certainly a factor. I just didn't expect this to happen. Chris, I'm stuck at a toll booth. Hang on one second. I apologize.
No worries. Coach DiNardo with us at a toll booth. And he'll resume his thoughts on Sean Eichhorst's dismissal here, his reaction in a moment. But who hasn't hit a toll booth at the wrong time? There's never a right time to hit a toll booth. Coach, is there?
Let's just keep going until somebody comes and rescues me. So we might as well keep going. I'm going to be in trouble whenever the person gets here. I'm driving to Purdue in a rental car, and the guy told me that the license plate was registered. So just go through the express lanes and I pass. Evidently, they didn't get the memo here that it's registered.
Well, Coach, put the old rescue flag up. But back to Nebraska's decision here. Timing-wise, to make this move, Coach, is where we were at.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not there every day, and I don't know all the issues, and so I'm probably not the right guy that knows the inside, but I have to say, you know, I'm shocked this happened. I guess I don't have enough information to know why it happened, but it's, like I say, from a coach's perspective, it's never good when things like this happen. So it'll be a distraction, and it'll be one that they'll try to get through.
The reason given by Chancellor Green, a higher level of competitiveness as the reason. The student-athlete side of things, they didn't have too many complaints with Sean Eichhorst. From a performance and play on the field, that was the reasoning, Coach DiNardo. And from what you see at Nebraska since they joined the Big Ten, have they kind of lived up to their end of the bargain? Let's just stick with football when it comes to on-field performance. Has Nebraska been what you thought they'd be?
Well, no. I think I'm in the majority when I say, you know, this is this school that's got great tradition. The world has changed a little bit, and you and I have talked about that quite a bit. I do want people to know Sean Eichhorst did a lot to get the rule changed in recruiting, which is going to be very good for Nebraska as we go forward. The junior visitation, all that kind of legislation. So he was a big factor in that. When the chancellor says, mentions competition, you know, that's translated to, in my opinion, it seems like they're not happy with Mike Riley. I mean, I don't know how else you would take that coming from a chancellor. So Mike will have a chance to do better, but there's no doubt that this is a warning signal to him that they're not happy with the way it's going in football.
Have you ever had to endure this with a guy above you being removed?
I have. I had three athletic directors, three chancellors, or three presidents, rather, Indiana, and six mission statements. I was at LSU, and the athletic director basically was, when Mark Emmert came to be the chancellor, he wanted to run the athletic department, and so the athletic director lost his power. So, yeah, I've been through this. And it's not good. It's not comforting. It's usually not promising. There's really very little positive that can come out of this from a coach's perspective.
I want to get your take here, Coach, on the field. And from a performance standpoint, here's what I see. I see Nebraska defensively continuing to take some steps. I see guys that are young in the program able to contribute, and they're playing or being asked to play roles that they can follow through and do well. So you see some depth on the defensive side. It's got to get better, but it's taken some steps better. On the offensive side, and you're an offensive line great. You were an All-American at Notre Dame. What do you think the issue is with Nebraska on the offensive line as we kind of switch it back to on-field and football now with Rutgers looming?
Well, you know, I have not studied the Nebraska tape. You know, we don't have them this week, and they're not going to be a big part of our show. So, you know, that's how I've got to budget my time in, sure, in a certain way. So I haven't really studied them. I saw them in camp. They looked like they were okay. You know, they weren't the best in the conference. You know, they're not where Nebraska is. They're not where Iowa is. So I got people stacked up behind me now. Hang on, I'm fighting with people now in the toll booth. I'm still at the same toll booth, by the way. So, you know, Chris, I mean, it's some talent level. You know, Mike Riley inherited some of these issues, and it obviously has to get better. But, you know, I don't know that I know enough to start blaming the offensive line. You know, Brady Hoke went through the same thing. He took over Michigan with Denard Robinson, who was a spread quarterback. He made the move, and after 2 years, like Mike has, and it cost him his job. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. A lot of people have all the answers without knowing all the problems.
Sure.
And there's a lot of problems.
With that, and you know what? We've talked about scheme change a lot. And I just, and you're the coach, and you know a ton of football. I just thought there wouldn't be a painful transition offensively, Coach, because it's going to be a quarterback that is more of a Mike and Langsdorf fit. And in all honesty, when you take the running quarterback out of the equation, it puts a ton of stress on the lack of diversity in the run game, and you don't have a mobile guy making plays back there at quarterback. I think you've been right all along when it comes to cautioning it will be a transition offensively. I just sense it was more to their fit. I didn't think it'd be so up and down as it has been.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be this drastic as well. But, you know, they fired Bo, and he had a mobile quarterback. You know, this is – it's not that simple. And, when you don't believe in the coach's plan, it doesn't matter whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. The time to make a change is when you don't believe in the coach's plan. Sean believed in Mike Riley's plan. Sean is gone. So whoever is pulling the strings now – if they believe in Mike's plan, he'll be around for a little bit longer, a lot longer, whatever. If they don't believe in his plan, they don't care about a running quarterback, a throwing quarterback, West Coast offense spread. It's if you believe in the plan. And so, obviously, they didn't believe in Sean's plan. Does that translate that means they don't believe in Mike's plan? It's a strong possibility.
Last thought here, Coach Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network. He is stuck at a toll booth. That is tough. I want to get your thoughts here. Michigan-Purdue, that's where you're headed. Big opportunity for Purdue. Michigan's offense hadn't been great. What do we expect here this Saturday? Give me a quick little preview of what you think happens.
Well, you know, I think Jeff Brohm will try to keep the Michigan's defense a little bit on its heels by play calling. But I have to tell you, Chris, there's a significant – and these are two teams I have studied. There is a significant difference in the talent level, especially at the line of scrimmage. Purdue has very few pro prospects in the offensive line, and they are going to be asked to block without the threat of the option, to extend our conversation a little bit about – what's going on at Nebraska.
Hi.
Okay, 1 second, Chris. I rented this car. They told me that they registered the license plate and just to drive through these things. I don't know what's going on. Okay, well, that's...
Do you have to pay $5 credit card or okay?
I think I have cash. Give me 1 second. Hang on, Chris.
No, it's all right, Coach. I tell you what, Coach DiNardo's just juggling in here, baby. We got toll booth problems. And the plan is what we've hit on. Do the new people in charge believe in Mike's plan moving forward? What we shall see. Mike Riley will speak with the media here towards the end of hour two. Don't forget your chance at Nebraska and Rutgers tickets. Don't forget your chance at those Blur party passes. Is Coach still there?
I'm free. Yeah, I'm free. I'm good.
That is good stuff.
I'm out of the toll.
Jerry DiNardo breaking out of the toll booth like he's leading that block for a touchdown back at Notre Dame. Coach, I have about
it cost the network $5, but I got free.
We've got proof that they owe you the five. 30 seconds. What do you expect from Nebraska Saturday? Do they respond? Do they get through this against Rutgers?
I think they do respond. You know, what I expect to see is Rutgers to play their best game. I would say to Rutgers, you play like you played against Washington, I'd say to Nebraska, think of all the good things, or if people take exception to me saying all, think of the good things that you've done offensively early in the season. On defense, you think and you look at the video of the good things you've done recently on defense, and let's put that all together. And let's win a game. Let's win a conference game. We haven't played a conference game yet. We can be 1-0 in the conference. You just have to do something positive, Chris. You have to talk positive. The guys are getting beaten down. Mm-hmm. They're listening to all the stuff. I understand the fans. There's no excuse for losing to Northern Illinois. I get it. I totally get it. But they can win this game against Rutgers. There have been some good things. They have to build on whatever good things they can find.
Coach, you be good. Take care. Thank you so much.
All right, sorry about all this, Chris. I apologize.
No worries. Jerry DiNardo with us.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Athletics is
is never devoid of emotion. And so, you know, when you have a big win, you're probably never quite as good as what people think you are. And when you have a big loss, you're never quite as bad as they think you are. And I doubt that this decision was tied to any one event on the athletic field. It probably had to do with other reasons. So I hope that fans will hang in there. They've always been very loyal, and just hope for the best in all sports, not just football, but all the sports.
Coach Osborne, earlier as his reaction to the dismissal of Sean Eichhorst, how you feeling as a Nebraska fan? 466-377-6800, 825-5865. There was a lot said by Chancellor Green, a lot said by Hank Bounds, and they aren't afraid of the 90s. Why not shoot for it? I'm paraphrasing. That's where they want football and all sports to be getting back to. And they're both Nebraska fans, despite their positions. And when it comes to the reason for making a decision on Eichhorst like they did today, they're trying to invest in the future. That's where they're at. Feedback from former Huskers who played under Coach Pelini, pretty vast. And the general consensus is they didn't feel accepted or like it was, it didn't feel, I guess, normal. And you have a chance right now to make a move and do something different. And we have been well over time. Let's get a hold of Searles right now. We'll get Searles on. He's one of those guys who played for Coach Pelini, but he's also around the program. And Jeremiah Searles, obviously our favorite Minnesota Viking, he'll be with us here in about a minute. So we'll get his take on things shortly. So there's where we're going to go. If you plan to go out tonight as a Nebraska fan, maybe you're in a celebratory mood, make sure you get home safe. And plan to find that designated driver. If you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI. Could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and in jail time. And also, you'll be required to install that interlock device in your vehicle. So if you're making plans, find that sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. So we'll get Jeremiah Searles on here shortly, get his reaction. Can take your calls, 800-825-5865. Jerry DiNardo was just with us, and if you missed Uncle Jerry was stuck at a toll booth, and he had to have someone come help him. But he is pretty blunt by saying this is not a good thing for Mike Riley, not a good thing for the staff. They are still here. They are still trying to win and coach your football team. So we'll see what type of turnaround can be had for Nebraska as they are 1-2 right now. Let's welcome in our favorite Minnesota Viking, Jeremiah Searles, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, how are you, sir? What's new?
I'm great, man. Just finishing up a day at work and headed, actually got another radio interview I'm doing here in about an hour in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, so I'm headed up there.
You're headed to Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Don't get stuck at a toll booth like Coach DiNardo just did.
I'll do my best.
Okay, I got to ask you, your reaction to Sean Eichhorst being let go today?
I'm all right with it, man. I think it's good for the program. Never had anything personally against Sean, but I've heard from former players and heard from guys that were there when the whole regime change went down that it wasn't handled the greatest way, and I think that a fresh start there is kind of right where this program's headed and right where it's needed, and I hope that this doesn't distract too much from the football program's season.
You've had to live through the distraction because your senior year there, Coach Pelini was not let go. But that was the discussion point, even up through the Georgia Bowl game. What are the guys going through right now? The players that are down there right now, guys that maybe were recruited by Bo, but also guys that signed up to play for Mike.
I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think that it's going to be tough for this team to try and fight through, but I'm hoping that this can maybe be something that gets them all back together, maybe something that is a rally cry behind to hey, you know what, like there's a lot going on, but nothing matters when it's Saturday and it's 11-on-11, what happens between those white lines. But, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, shoot, Eichhorst just came out in the media for the first time in a while after the game and talked, and now they canned him. I mean, it's just kind of like, well, a lot of uncertainty in the program. I hope that there's some good senior leadership that's going to be able to pick up the slack and just continue to move forward and hopefully get this season back on track.
Is that something that, and again, you've already said there's nothing personal here against Eichhorst, but from a management and a leadership standpoint, did you feel like he was consistent?
Not, I mean, I only got about what? I think it was 2 years with him, maybe even 1 year with him. But, I mean, I never really saw him down and around the – I never really saw him down and around the practice field. I mean, if he was more or less once Bo left, then that's awesome. But, I mean, T.O. used to be down there all the time. We used to always look up and see T.O. sitting up in the stands watching practice and just coming around. And, I mean, it's hard. I mean, honestly, no one expected Eichhorst, I mean, to fill Osborne's shoes. I don't know if there's anyone in the state of Nebraska that could.
Right.
And so, I mean, he came in at a tough spot. But, I mean, I just think that – his management and his leadership style didn't necessarily fit well sometimes with some of the guys that are around. And I've heard that just from some numerous guys from being former players. I mean, I saw a couple – Tommy got on Twitter and talked about it a little bit. I saw a couple other guys that got on there. And I think a lot of it people are saying, like, oh, it's Bo-bashing guys or guys that were under Bo. But I just think it's guys that speak their mind. And, I mean, no one wanted to come out and disrespect the guy when he was still the head of the university in the athletic department. But now that things have settled, I think guys can speak their mind a little bit. And I think more and more stuff will start to come out, good, bad, ugly, whatever. It's all indifferent at this point. And, I mean, he's no longer the AD. And I think guys just continue to speak on what they feel.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, got about 60 seconds. And I need to know from an offensive lineman to guys that play that position for you, where do you think Nebraska can get better Saturday on the O-line?
Just be tough SOBs, man. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, technique is important and scheme is important, but to play O-line, you got to be a tough dude. You got to go out there and win your one-on-one matchups and say, this dude, not today. Like, whoever's lined up across from you, it's not happening today, it's not happening on my watch, and we're just going to fight. And it doesn't matter if you turn it into guerrilla warfare, you turn it into guerrilla warfare, but you just got to put a line in the sand and say enough is enough. I don't care if it's NIU, I don't care if it's Wisconsin, I don't care if it's the freaking Cleveland Browns. Enough is enough. You put your hand in the dirt and you just go to work.
Jeremiah Searles, Minnesota Viking, former Husker. You guys are at Tampa, correct?
Yep, Tampa comes to us.
That'll be good. I can't wait to see that. We'll be watching on Sunday, Jay. Jeremiah Searles, his thoughts on Sean Eichhorst in the offensive line. Jay, you be good, brother. Take care, and thanks so much for your input.
Hey, absolutely, man. Always good to jump on the show.
All right, brother. Be good. Take care.
Take care.
Searles is going to be happy. I will have my smoker back in 3 weeks. You got to figure out when their bye week is. All right, we'll wind down hour one. Gary Barnett coming up. More of your calls coming up. George Darlington on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Much love to Jeremiah Searles for joining us. His thoughts on Sean Eichhorst. Gary Barnett coming up. Jerry DiNardo is out of the toll booth he was stuck in, which is a good thing, and is on his way to Purdue, but he does not think this is good for Mike Riley. James has been on hold. We asked how you're feeling as a Nebraska fan. Your response has been overwhelming. You're happy to see a different direction as an athletic director. That's the feedback we have gotten. And we can discuss who you want next as athletic director. James going to kick that off. James, how are you?
Good.
Who are you?
Like
who are you thinking?
It's like Christmas. Christmas coming early.
Who do you want next?
Well, people are clamoring for Trev Alberts and Scott Frost. I think those guys both have jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
They both were in the 90s. I'm going to go back to what they call the scoring explosion. A couple guys named Dave Remington, athletic director. He seems to know a little bit about administration with the Boomer Esiason Foundation, and then a guy named Turner Gill probably didn't get much of a chance there at Kansas, being a basketball school. So I'd say give Remington and Gill the ball and see what they can do. And, you know, if they can't do it, then, you know, hand it off to Alberts and Frost and give those guys a chance.
This next hire has got to be right, and it's got to take Nebraska back to high performance. James, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I am not going to comment on, you know, who the next coach is. That's not what I'm asking. That's out of respect to this staff and what they're trying to do. There's still a lot of season left, and I think they're good coaches. They just need to be better coaches and get better results from their players. I think that's universally agreed upon. But there's not a coaching opening right now. Okay? And you're going to hear the hundreds of names bantied about. You're going to hear what type of job Nebraska is or isn't. Right now, what is open is the athletic director's job. And it's got to be somebody who gets Nebraska football. Sean Eichhorst didn't get Nebraska football, didn't quite get Nebraska. Too many missteps along the way. I think he wanted to be an aide to student athletes, but he was never really viewed as a guy that maybe they could like or trust based on why he was brought in and some of the changes he made. That wasn't agreed upon or respected by guys that were in the program. And right now, the hire he has needs to do better. And that's understood. That's been admitted by Mike Riley. They need to win more games. They have a lot of investment to do so. They got to go perform. And I, of course, just, I think, in the end, just not consistent with what he is. Is he a guy that's going to wait till the end of the year to talk? No. He changed it once his hires got put in place. And then he didn't support his hires Saturday. We and them were the terms used. We'll take calls here going in the next hour. Let me tell you about Vintage Red Sports Gallery. If you're on your way to Lincoln or you're in Lincoln before Nebraska Rutgers, Vintage Red Sports Gallery next to Oklahoma Joe's in the Haymarket. Amazing museum, sports memorabilia, Rozier, Osborne, Devaney, Frazier, Phillips. And of course, the museum open 11 to 7 Tuesdays through Saturdays. $5 to get in with a portion going to teammates. Vintage Red Sports Gallery next to Oklahoma Joe's. Make time to see it when you're here for Nebraska football or during the week. And their Joe McDermott work is beautiful. You need to see there for sale as well.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Tower 2, thanks for tuning in. Busy one today, an extended version of Hail Varsity Radio since 2 o'clock today. Appreciate your time. Who do you want next as the AD for Nebraska? Can chew on that. We'll talk about Saturday and how Mike Riley and Nebraska bounce back, if they bounce back against Rutgers after the Northern Illinois loss. And Mike Riley will be addressing the media here in about 20 minutes. Big thanks to Jerry DiNardo. Poor guy was stuck at a toll booth. For, I won't say hours, don't let him twist it and say it was hours, but he was stuck for about 7 minutes. I don't know if he's on the golf course or next to his smoker doing some ribs, but we're going to talk some football here with Gary Barnett, Sports USA Radio, Buff Radio Network, great coach at Northwestern in Colorado. Coach, it's one of those days here in Nebraska, sir. How are you?
I'll tell you what, Chris, I'm stuck in traffic where half of the known world has moved to Colorado to live. And so our sleepy little state now is packed with people from other places.
Why do you think they moved there, Coach?
I don't know. Put two and two together.
You're supposed to say football. What's your reaction today to Nebraska, not just making the move on Sean Eichhorst, but the timing of it?
You know me. I'm not ever for making moves like that or for letting people go this time of year, you know, holding him responsible. You know, I know he hired Mike, but I don't know. I don't think that's the right way to go about doing things. But I didn't get a phone call from anybody asking my opinion other till now.
So sure.
I guess I'm too late.
No. And I mean, I am asking your opinion because I mean, Coach, you've been at a place that has had support for you. And I look at Northwestern, and I remember the story you told me about when you got to Colorado. This was under Mack and company. You guys had a 1-10 season, and they extended your contracts because they believed the direction you were going. And there's just a lot of things accumulating on Sean's tab. They felt like it was time to make a move, and they want to have success in all athletic endeavors, but football needs to be better. How do you handle this as a coach? I mean, did you ever have to go through any transition from chancellor or presidency as a coach?
Yeah, I sure did. I had to go through athletic director change at Colorado. As a matter of fact, I went through an athletic director change and a presidency change at Northwestern. And, in Northwestern, it was a matter of one guy retiring and someone else coming in with new energy. And the athletic director was a matter of they made a change. And, the move they made for the short term anyway, when I was there, was a much-needed move just because it brought somebody with a fire in their belly and somebody with the expertise of dealing with Division I football. And prior to that, that was lacking. So that turned out well. The one at Colorado, as far as the head coach goes, if you change the athletic directors, you're probably next. Mm-hmm. And that certainly happened to me at Colorado. And, the ADs, the AD and the head coach are usually tied in because one hired the other. And, when the university or whoever the powers to be make the decision that guy doesn't need to be in place anymore in the athletic directorship, then they're probably sending a message. Or at least that's the way it's been most places that I've witnessed anyway.
Mm-hmm. What's your impression? You're a guy who knows the Big Ten, and you're a guy who knows national college football. From an administrative appeal, in your opinion, what does Nebraska need to look at? They're going to go search firm, and they're also going to listen to Coach Osborne, which is a good thing. Just knowing, I mean, because Nebraska is a specific culture, right? I mean, for them to be successful at football, where do they go? How do they find fit? And what type of appeal does the Nebraska job have from an athletic director standpoint?
Well, I'm not real sure because I don't live in that world as athletic directorships. One, you have resources. Two, you don't have Tom looking over your shoulder anymore like you have for years. So I think that's a little bit of a freedom for whoever comes in. I think my guess is that they need to establish some identity as a football program and, where they want to go, what they want to look like. Mm-hmm. And so, someone who has been a part of that, somebody who's created an identity in the athletic department and within the football program. And I'm sure search firms, it's a good way to go about it because it keeps anonymity and it, basically the people that hire the search firm, whoever those people are that are making the decision, one to fire Sean and the other to use the search firm, they're telling them a little bit of what they're looking for. And so then the search firm tries to go out and meet that sort of standard that they set, or set of descriptions, if you will. So it's it's an interesting process. When you were talking about us not getting fired, that was in the day when there was no money. They couldn't fire us because there was no money. Otherwise, I think they would have.
Well, okay.
Contracts we have now. I think we would have been, and I think that's what you're seeing now.
Okay. The way it was kind of put to me, it was, well, you guys ended up proving them right is my point. I mean,
right,
you won a
right.
national championship, and sometimes you got to stay patient. And guys are ready to jump, guys being listeners and fans. It's not that they don't like Coach Riley or respect Coach Riley. They just want more wins with the program.
Sure.
And they're already the jump to the next coach. I haven't and I won't do that because you still have a coach here. And I know it looks bleak with their schedule, but there's still 9 games left. Let's see what he can do with it is kind of where I'm at with it. But from a guy who's back in your play standpoint, this is extremely difficult. And I understand where you're coming from with just the fact that the guy who bought stock in you is no longer there.
Well, and that's just the reality of that world. But, you know, sometimes, Chris, you have to hit rock bottom before players will listen to you. Mm-hmm. And, I know Mike Riley and I know those coaches well enough to know that, you know what, they tried to make them aware of how good that football team is. And people usually pass that off as coaches talk or coaches speak.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's just true. It's not what anybody wants to hear, but it's the truth in that business, in that world, is that every game is hard to win. So sometimes when you get knocked down like this and you hit rock bottom, which certainly Nebraska appears to have done, all of a sudden players decide to assume responsibility. And, they say, look, our coaches didn't play. Our coaches gave its plan. We failed to use it. We failed to take them seriously. We failed to do our jobs. We didn't do the executions right. And so sometimes it gets their attention. And the leadership on the program, or in the program, has a great deal to do with whether or not that occurs and if it's successful. So, if I were a fan and if I were you, and you certainly are doing that, I think that that's the way I would look at it. You've hit rock bottom. Let's give them a chance to fight their way out of this thing and see what happens. And, if they don't, then you were wrong. And if they do, then you're right. And, mm-hmm. Nobody's going to remember that a year from now anyway. But that's about what happened.
What do you make of Nebraska's turnover the last, for lack of a better term, 20 years? And many claim the Friday your boys hung 62 is the starting point. But, I mean, what do you make in Nebraska the last few years? You've either had coaching changes or AD changes or both. I mean, I know nothing lasts forever, but it's a far cry from what it had been.
Well, and you're right. Nothing lasts forever. But sometimes that identity lasts, and sometimes that aura last. And I think to some extent some of that has, but I think once you started making changes with Coach Cal, bringing in Callahan, and what he did initially and the way he handled from a pro standpoint, I'm not putting this all on Bill,
right,
but I think that marked the start of Nebraska wanting to do something different. And sometimes doing something different isn't the best way.
Mm.
Sometimes, having that identity and making everybody have to play your identity rather than trying to go out and create a new identity is the best way to go. And you guys right now, you're stuck in there. Where are we? Do we go back to an identity that we used to have, that kind of football? What do we do? And in reality, it's a little bit about what's going on in the country with offenses and even defenses that you're seeing people start to second think the things that they're doing so wide openly and on the offensive side.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to see defense reemerge a little bit. You're starting to see that sort of, it may be swinging back the other way, but it'll take a couple of years to really tell that. But to me, once Coach Callahan brought in the pro attack and pro concept, then the whole identity seemed to get altered.
Mm-hmm. Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio reacting to Sean Eichhorst's dismissal. Let's go into Saturday's loss. And Northern Illinois is, they earned it. They got it handled. They beat up on Nebraska. But the offensive line play has been getting blasted all week. The defense is kind of creeping, you know, steps forward each week, it seems like. And, Coach, you ran a West Coast pro style for a lot of years. And is it a difficult offense to be successful with? And I ask that because things were supposed to be better when you have the right fit at quarterback. Well, there's no more quarterback run game, and well, the run game isn't as strong as it could be because it's not diverse. I mean, there's so many different things going on offense, and do you think they can get better at it? And is it difficult to find linemen to run Mike's system?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it's difficult to find linemen anywhere anymore.
Okay.
It really is. I go back to your quarterback and, you know, what he had, what, 5 touchdowns and 8 interceptions?
Yeah.
And, you know, if that happens once, you think, well, maybe that's just, you know, you
bad
can
day.
Rationalize your way out of that. But when you look at, he was the same way at Tulane, if I remember correctly. His ratio was under 50% touchdowns to interceptions. You can't win in any scheme at any level when you're doing that. And so there appears to be, just looking at it statistically and not knowing Tanner Lee, other than watching him throw the ball against the two games I saw, you know, he looks like he's got mechanics and all that, but you can't have a below 50% touchdown. You can't even have a 50% touchdown to interception ratio and expect to win games. So that has got to improve hugely. And if it's the offensive line, it's the offensive line. But he had a different offensive line in Tulane. So there is something amiss right there, in my opinion.
The last part I want to ask you here, do you think Nebraska is a physical enough football team right now on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think if you were, you wouldn't lose to Northern Illinois, and you wouldn't have made Arkansas State the way it was. And you did seem to come back and play well in the second half against Oregon. You didn't win the game. So, no, I think when you're doing those kinds of numbers, that no, you're not physical enough.
Is that something you can become, or does it take a while?
That's probably the hardest thing to change right there is to all of a sudden become more physical. But it depends on the use of your program, your kids. If you've got young kids, yes, you can certainly become more physical. If you got older kids, then no, that's a tough one.
Coach, I need to know, Washington and the Buffs this weekend, about 30 seconds. What do you think of that one?
Well, the Buffs are outmatched up front, both sides of the ball. This isn't a game they have to win. It's a game. It's a great opportunity for them, and they, in order to move forward, they've got to show well. And you know, their only chance to win is to get to the fourth quarter, make it tight. But they're playing against a really good football team. But strange things have happened, and you know, the Buffs, neither team's played anybody of notice. So who knows what's going to happen in that situation? And if the Buffs really are carry any learning from last year's game with them, it should help them. But, and I think the coaches learned a lot last year playing Washington. But, you know, it's a 10-point game, maybe 11-point game now. And, you know, I think if the Buffs can get to that, if they can get to that 10, that they've played a pretty good football game against a good football team.
Coach, about 10 seconds here. Rutgers, Nebraska. Does Nebraska survive at home?
Yeah, I think I think they bounce back. I think they hit rock bottom, and you'll see the resolve of those seniors and that football team this week.
Gary Barnett, the coach. Coach, we appreciate your time and your candor and your insight. We'll catch up next week. Thank you so much, sir.
You got it, Chris. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There he is. Gary Barnett with us. Longtime assistant at Nebraska and former Rutgers player. George Darlington next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More of your calls coming up. Gary Barnett there a moment ago. Good stuff from Coach. And I asked him, can you be more physical, switching and focusing back on Saturday versus the athletic director search? And if you had a younger team, yeah, you can be physical. If you had an older team, it's a bit of a problem. You kind of are what you are. Can Nebraska figure it out against Rutgers and beyond? And the consensus from Coach DiNardo and Coach Barnett is this isn't good for Mike Riley. That's not groundbreaking. There still is a chance for Nebraska to kind of just plow forward with their season and get better. And you're going to have an interim, you're going to have a new AD, and you're kind of back to the Callahan era where, you know, a number needs to be probably hit to keep your job. And we welcome in a longtime assistant at Nebraska. He played football at Rutgers, and he has been teaching a course for 30 years plus when it comes to teaching football. Football facts. Get his take on the event of the day, though. George Darlington is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, another busy Thursday, but this one you thought it would be more about Rutgers, Nebraska. Instead, now Nebraska looking for an athletic director. How are you?
Well, good. It was shocking, to say the least.
It was. And, Coach, what's your take? What's your reaction on this? How do you think it affects Saturday?
Well, that's a little hard to say, but obviously this is a very simple business. Coaching is a very simple profession. That's why Bear Bryant said, don't ever tack your carpet down to coaches. It's a very wise suggestion because bottom line is, are you meeting the expectations of the majority of people, or at least the people that count? And if you don't, you're gone. It's very simple, and it's sad because a lot of people are involved, families, et cetera, but that is the business. And as Bear's other famous statement to me I heard at a convention was, there's only two types of people in this auditorium, and there was maybe 1,500 coaches there, and he said, those that have been fired and those that are going to be fired. Mm-hmm. And he really cut to the chase in the profession. And if you don't think that that's the case, it is in many, many, many people's experiences, and yet we love it and we enjoy coaching and enjoy the accomplishments and enjoy being around kids. And so, you know, for all the various good reasons, but that is the facts of life. When you have expectations and past history, that makes it even harder on whoever is involved at this point.
George Darlington with us, former Nebraska assistant for many years under Coach Osborne, and played his college ball at Rutgers. Your alma mater comes to town. One of your pupils we had a chance to speak with was Bill Bush, GA for you. And he says to say hi to you. We talked to him yesterday. Coach, how do you think Nebraska reacts on Saturday?
Well, I don't think the kids are going out there and win one for Shane, the athletic director. I mean, I think they have prepared. I understand they've prepared well, and they're going out and do the best they can. And hopefully they'll end up winning. They're playing the weakest team in the Big Ten, in Rutgers, according to Bill, and they just are a year or two away. But you've got to go out and play. I think I told you one time, and it sounds like bragging, but it has nothing to do with necessarily anything I ever did, but we went to Oregon and 1968 or whatever, we were a 34-point underdog at San Jose State, and we won. Now, we could have played Oregon 100 games, spread out, and we would not have won another game. They were that much better than us, but on that given day, various factors were involved, and we ended up beating them. And so you have to, you know, you just can't assume that. And that's why to brag about Tom Osborne, that's why the record that Nebraska has that nobody's close to is we only lost to one team with a losing record over 30, 40 years. And that's just unheard of because of the emotions of human beings and the idea that you take some people for granted or whatever. So you have to be ready to play, and you have to go out and execute, et cetera, and that's true tomorrow or Saturday, just like it is any game. And hopefully there's improvement. Every team hopes to improve as the season goes on.
George Darlington with his coach. You were around Coach Osborne as an assistant and also around him when he was athletic director, knowing him like you do. You're also there when Devaney was there. And for this next athletic director at Nebraska, what are some of the traits that they need to have to be as successful as Coach Osborne and Coach Devaney?
Well, they need to be supportive with all the coaches that they have presently. And if a new guy comes in, when he comes in, he better be supportive of who is here. And if he feels that some that are here shouldn't be here, obviously he would make changes. Because that was the greatest thing about Tom and Bob. They would do anything to support the coaches, take any criticism that the fans might have, and they were always 100% supportive. Tom was very supportive. Tom had no desire to have to fire Callahan, but the football program was in horrible shape, and probably had to win a couple games at the end, and he would have continued to coach, but he didn't do it, and you know, it's just the facts of life. When you've had to go out and hawk season tickets at Nebraska, that you know there's some issues, and that has to change, obviously, and that makes it difficult.
George, tell us a little bit about Football Facts, Coach, as you have another class tonight and this fall.
Well, we start from the very beginning, the basics, and go through more complex things, too. We have great film to show of last week's Husker game, for example, selected clips, and film of Rutgers on offense and defense so people can see, okay, now this is what the opponent this week is going to do, how they're going to line up. But the main thing is for people to greatly increase their knowledge of all phases about the great game of football.
Can folks still sign up, or are you full?
No, they can still sign up. In fact, what they should do is just go to the continuing education building on 66th at Southeast Community College and go up to the third floor, and the lady will be there to check them in. And we'd love to have some people who have not signed up, even though it's not much notice, to come ahead, and you'll be welcome, and we'll look forward to having a good class.
7 o'clock tonight, Coach?
Yes, for 7 weeks, and we have a nice banquet at the end of the year, and we have guest players who've done a fabulous job down through the years.
Well, we'll send folks over to SEC into the Continuing Education Center. Come join you tonight. Get signed up for Football Facts with Coach George Darlington. Coach, thanks for your candor and thanks for your insight on today's story with Sean Eichhorst. And we'll look forward to seeing you for Rutgers. And last thought, I got about 60 seconds here. How did you end up at Rutgers? I got to know that.
Well, they had no scholarships, and the coach came to Charleston, West Virginia. We had a kid named Bob Sims from the rival high school, a year older, and he was an outstanding player. And they just gave myself and some other players in the West Virginia area the opportunity to come and participate. And so I did that. I wasn't a very good player, wasn't very big, and went on a campus I'd never even seen before the first day and enjoyed the experience. We had very good teams and had a lot of success.
Coach, congrats to you. Thanks for your time and insight. We appreciate you.
Well, thanks so much, and you take care and have a good evening.
You too. George Darlington with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Football Facts, another year with Coach Darlington doing that. Can log on SEC's website, get signed up for that. But Coach Darlington pretty adamant what you need next in the next athletic director. Let's tell you about Madonna Therapy Plus. Don't let knee, hip, shoulder, or back issues kind of derail you. Recover faster with Madonna Therapy Plus. All your physical therapy needs, skilled therapists using the most advanced technology, get you back in the results you need and back on the trail, the court, or just back to regular life. 10 years. Tell you what, the last 10 years, they've been Lincoln's number one choice for physical therapy. So sign up today. Find a way to visit Madonna Therapy Plus. Three locations in Lincoln and a location in West Omaha. MadonnaTherapyPlus.org for your physical therapy needs. Okay, we will get you qualified right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865 for Nebraska Rutgers tickets and Blur Party passes. We'll do that giveaway in about 10 minutes or so. Tickets, Rutgers, Nebraska, and Blur Party passes. Caller 9 and 10 qualify. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. 9 and 10. Callers 9 and 10 qualify. And we'll do that giveaway here about 10 to 12 minutes. You want to go see Nebraska Rutgers, go to the Blur tailgate. Qualify now. That giveaway shortly after 5:50 with Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you're happy and you know it, go get a hot tub. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, I could use a relaxing little foray into the spa. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I can imagine there's a few people out there today that could probably use some stress relief.
They could.
Just from what I've heard.
Just from what you heard.
From what I've heard.
And just the other side of things, too, though. You don't always have to use the old hot tub from Home Innovation Spas to relieve stress. You can also just soak it up and relax, too.
Oh, that's right. It can be just so relaxing. I mean, the swim spas, you could do, it can be both ways. You can exercise, get your workout done in a nice, cool spa, and then sit back and relax with the jets and, just the relaxation of it. So the adjustment you make, you just adjust the temperature from season to season. So now maybe when it starts cooling off a little bit, we'll be turning those little temperatures up a little more and a little more. And, you know, it's just something you use year-round.
It is. Now, tell me, we've talked swim spa, but what other choices do you have and what other price points can you meet? Because you've got a spa for everybody, don't you?
We really do. I think that if you come in, tell us what you're interested in, what size area you're wanting to put a spa in. I can find the perfect one at a great price. And we always have the best service after the sale. We've been around 27 years, so it's not like we're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. We're here to stay, and we've got lots and lots of customers out there that can vouch for us.
27 years and counting. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. And go see Deb. She'll have that two-seater, that four-seater, that swim spa, that eight-seater. And you can even watch some college football, can't you, inside a spa?
Oh, yes. You can mount a TV up there. And, boy, it, you know, that's the way to have a tailgate.
It is. Do you still have the floating remote?
Oh, sure.
See?
Oh, yes.
Done. Right?
Oh, yeah. That never goes out of style.
If you fumble reaching for the cocktail, the remote will float for you. It's genius.
At least that will float.
Yeah.
Cocktail might not.
No, I know. You got to protect it. No fumbling. Deb, we love you, and we thank you for jumping on. We'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, Chris. Take care.
There
bye-bye.
There she is. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spa's 20th and Highway 2. And I was going to get into whether you're an administrator or not anymore, but that would have been rude and uncalled for. So you have a chance to absorb the news since today at 1. We'll get you caught up here with practice. Mike Riley will speak with the media, maybe has already spoke with the media. We'll get what he said passed along. And you heard from Coach Jerry DiNardo stuck at a toll booth talking administrative change. So he was on his way to Purdue. You heard from Coach Barnett, George Darlington a little bit ago. Jeremiah Searles was in with us. And here's the thing. And KFOR spoke with Dave Remington earlier. This from the World Herald, that Nebraska, per the World Herald, Nebraska's reached out to former Husker star Dave Remington as an interim candidate. So if you're Dave Remington, here's the question. You've run the Boomer Esiason Foundation for a long, long time. And do you leave that, or can you take a leave from that to be interim at Nebraska? Again, the World Herald says, and specifically Lee Barfnick, that Nebraska's approached Dave Remington as an interim. So, other news and notes. You have the buyout, about $2.4 million for I-Course, $1.7 and Pelini not working. So, the fan base has reacted, and this has been true on HailVarsity.com, the support to get rid of I-Corst is pretty much overwhelming approval. Do you think a change at the athletic director spot will warrant change in success? The reason they made the move here is to get better results on field. Well, you'll either win or won't be here, and I don't care what your sport is. The next boss will demand that. Now, let's get a little bit deeper here. And if Remington's a guy that's been reached out to as an interim, do you have to have Nebraska ties to be the next AD? And I think that answer is absolutely yes. I don't think it goes without saying. And listen, you've had it happen before where you brought back a Nebraska guy to be AD, and that didn't work out because he kind of changed or had his own agenda. But I think this time, and they're going search firm, they're also using TO, that you can find the right guy. And the right guy after Devaney was from Oregon. That was Bill Byrne. He wasn't a Nebraska guy, but I mean, it worked out okay for a while, and then he left. What do you need in the next athletic director? Well, I think he's got to have kind of a culture of toughness and physicality. That's not that he doesn't care about the student athlete, but I think it's kind of a mindset. I think it's a staple that has to exist from the top on down, of being willing and able to outwork your opponent and be stronger than your opponent as the game goes on. I'll say a guy that exudes that to a spectacular level, and I know he's not been in administration, is John Cook. He's down there. Trev Alberts is at UNO. Dave Remington's run a nonprofit, but he's raised I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of dollars for the fight against cystic fibrosis. So, I don't know. The thing that softens the blow here with the payouts for your athletic director and your former staff is, I mean, you're just it's just raining money, babe, from the Big Ten. It just is. And now it's time for you to live up to your end of the deal as a football program, and you still have time this year to do it, and that's win. But it's going to take toughness. It's going to take embracing the tradition, understanding the tradition, caring about the tradition, and it's going to take more elbow grease, less ego. We'll wind down a busy, busy Thursday. You miss any part of the show, we invite you to jump on HailVarsity.com. We'll qualify you one more time. Caller 9 and 10 for Nebraska Rutgers tickets and Blur party passes. Caller 9 and 10 qualifies now with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Some feedback from Hail Varsity. Thoughts from Tim Miles. They control their own destiny. After the AD firing, Coach Riley's response as practice just wrapped up. Can't worry about having less equity built up from the guy who hires him, who's no longer here. He was saddened and surprised by the news of the I-Corps dismissal. And more from Coach Riley after practice. And Greg Smith, Hail Varsity, doing a great job. This is Riley's message to the team. Very thankful he brought me here so I could coach you guys. So that's kind of the plan of attack. Riley's happy to be here, but he's sad that the guy who brought him here is gone. So you have a lot of things going on with that. From an injury standpoint, Decker will be your center. Conrad's been doing not much this week because of a leg injury, so Decker's seen time at center this week, and we'll get you some more on where it's going to be set at tackle in a moment. Brendan Hymus going to start at right tackle, so you're going to have Decker at center, Hymus at right tackle, and also with some of the other injury news, Kalu is still out. Stanley Morgan's not practiced all week with a neck injury. So there's questions on him. Not a good thing for Nebraska. I'll get you more on the practice update here in a second. Should we play the Who Wins the Rutgers, Nebraska and Blur Party Passes game, Colton Stone?
Yeah, I think we should.
Can we get a little Animal House love here on that?
Give me just a second.
Okay, so Neville is questionable. Marcus Newby, Tyron Ferguson, Trey Bryan are out, and Stanley Morgan's hopeful. Again, Hymus will start. Conrad is dinged. Decker likely at center. And Tyron Ferguson was doing some nice work at outside linebacker. If you don't have Ferguson and you don't have Newby, you have a vacancy at that outside linebacker spot. Let's keep on coming here. Okay, without further ado, it is time to draw a winner for the Rutgers-Nebraska tickets with Hail Varsity and ESPN. And those Blur party passes. We'll let you know who's the lucky winner here. Colton Stone, come on down.
The winner for the Rutgers tickets this week is Sean Talley.
Sean Talley. Nice. Sean, we love you. Thanks for listening. We'll get you contacted. And there you have it. Rutgers-Nebraska tickets. Blur party passes for Sean Talley. Good work. We are at Miller Time Pub tomorrow, 4 to 6. We want to see you down there. We have Husker goodies to give you. Derek Peterson, myself on site, Miller Time Pub inside the just prestigious and incredible Cornhusker Marriott. We're there 4 to 6. High Life Hour is 4 to 7. 13th and L is where we're going to be in Lincoln. If you're headed to Lincoln, come see us. Miller Time Pub, a road show as Nebraska without an athletic director. Mike Riley in Nebraska trying to forge forward against Rutgers. We'll talk about the game, the distraction, and the fork in the road that is trying to get back to 2-2. As a historic day in Nebraska football. Sean Eichhorst, no more. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Colton Stone. I'm Chris Schmidt. Thanks to Gary Barnett, George Darlington, Jerry DiNardo, and Searles. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Miller Time.